Manx Radio's update with Dave Moore.
The time is 5 o'clock. You're listening to Manx Radio. I am Dave Moore, and this is Update. Welcome to the programme. Half an hour of the latest news in the Isle of Man, plus sport, business, travel updates, along with the newsmakers in person. Coming up, we have reaction to the government's decision to increase the minimum wage. We'll also look at Manx Telecom's merge with Jersey Telecom. And is there a lesson for Manx politics after last night's Welsh Government by-election? That's all coming up in the next 30 minutes. But first of all, the update news headlines with Christian Jones. Fast am I.
Manx Telecom and Jersey Telecom have agreed a merger, creating what they say will be the largest full-service telecoms provider across the Crown dependencies. However, the deal still needs to be approved by regulators before it can go ahead. Treasury says a decision to increase minimum wage is about supporting the local economy, employers and workers.
If you can plan ahead, adjust your prices, adjust your business models, we can actually get through this together.
Yesterday, Tim Wald approved the changes, which will see the hourly rate rise from £12.25 per hour to £13.46 from April next year. The Isle of Man's unemployment rate has remained steady at 0.6%. There were 273 people registered out of work at the end of September, 4 fewer than August. In international news, an asylum seeker has been found guilty of murdering a hotel worker on a railway station platform. The Sudanese nationals believed to have entered the UK by small boat less than 3 months before the attack on Rhiannon White last October. The victim's mum, Siobhan, wants him to face justice in the UK.
I'm not against asylum seekers, whatever, but he's taken my daughter away. He doesn't deserve to be sent back to his own country. Serve his time here every day of his life.
One of the oldest football clubs in the world has gone into administration. Championship strugglers Sheffield Wednesday have automatically been deducted 12 points. And Kim Kardashian has told fans she'll become a qualified lawyer in 2 weeks. Reality star says she could give up her public persona to focus on a new career. Those are the update news headlines next at 6.
Gurumayu Christian, onto the weather. Becoming cloudier this evening with a risk of a few showers and a strengthening northwest wind. Then staying generally dry overnight as the wind increases strong to near gale force, turning colder with a minimum temperature around 6 Celsius. Isolated showers tomorrow with a top temperature up to just 9 Celsius, but feeling colder as the strong to near gale force northwest wind continues. On Sunday, cloudy, rain arriving during the morning, turning a little patchier before clearing away in the evening. Fresh to strong west or northwest winds strengthening during the afternoon with a top temperature up to 11 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbridge Trading Estate.
Simply Income Protection from Kestrel Insurance. A choice of benefits. Simple underwriting and peace of mind with a regular income for up to 2 years if you're unable to work due to illness or injury. Kestrel Insurance is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Carpetland, the carpet specialist with the island's best value carpets in stock, often fitted within a week. Furnitureland, for three-piece suites, dining and living room furniture, and a selection of amazing beds. Carpetland and Furnitureland, West Street, Ramsey.
Manx Mobility and Onken have it all. Daily living aids, wide-fitting shoes, Rise recliners, beds and scooters, including lightweight and airline-approved models. Call in and see how our expert team can make your life easier. Manx Mobility at the top of Summer Hill.
The exclusive Kärcher store is open with thousands of products, accessories and parts in stock. For Kärcher sales and service, Hersham Electrical, Shipyard Industrial Estate, Ramsey.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
The Treasury Minister, Alex Allenson, says a decision to increase minimum wage is about supporting the local economy, employers and workers. Yesterday, Tim Wald approved the changes, which will see the hourly rate rise from £12.25 to £13.46 from April next year. Mr. Allenson says moving the minimum wage towards meeting the living wage has been something government's been talking about since the start of the current administration. He's also acknowledging the plight of some businesses.
Nobody dispute that there are lots of stresses, particularly for small businesses on the Isle of Man, and particularly in certain sectors such as hospitality, retail, the care sectors, cleaning companies. We know that they've been hit by increased costs, increased energy costs, and obviously those people who employ a lot of staff are going to be hit by this if they're paying the minimum wage. However, we also know that if you can plan ahead, adjust your prices, adjust your business models, and there is help available to do that, we can actually get through this together.
But 5 months will whiz by. You know, that will go by so quickly. Is this really enough time?
It will, but we've been talking about this for 5 years. We set a clear pathway in the Ireland Plan at the start of this administration to meet the living wage. We've actually backtracked on that. We've delayed that. We've phased that in. We're now going for median earnings. So we've given business an awful lot of chance there to adjust, at the same time as they're having to adjust to lots of other pressures as well. This isn't, a binary debate. This is trying to support the local economy, support local workers, support local employers, so we can all benefit from increased prosperity on the Isle of Man. And at the same time, obviously, attract more businesses over here, attract more visitors over here, get more footfall in our town centres. It's all part of an overall government policy. But this is a commitment by Tim Walz, which has now been delivered this week.
The majority of our comments on Facebook, it's safe to say, were not positive towards yourself or the government's decision. What's the message, though, to small businesses who basically are worried that they're going to have to cut staff to make this work?
I'm thank you for inviting me on. This was very much a Timmel decision. This was initially about poverty, but actually it's also about economic growth and prosperity and trying to get that across our island. What I'd say for small businesses is, look, we were increasing the minimum wage. If you are struggling, reach out to the Department for Enterprise. Come in, have a chat, see how we can assist you adjusting to that. And there are lots of schemes available in terms of energy costs, in terms of technology costs. We need to make sure that we support everyone going forward.
Treasury Minister Alex Allenson. Well, one outspoken opponent of the minimum wage rise has been the Isle of Man Chamber of Commerce. It's been advocating for local businesses in recent months, saying changes like those approved yesterday would be devastating for their futures. Chief Executive Rebecca George says the impact will be felt beyond the island's hospitality and retail sectors.
Business contributes heavily to tax revenues that fund our public services and our infrastructure and our way of life. You know, what we're seeing is business confidence falling, and the whole island is feeling that right now. Confidence is really shaken, and our businesses need to see more support. I heard this morning that the Treasury Minister even acknowledged that this decision is going to create challenges for small businesses. And, you know, he said, yes, businesses will close. And you know, these are family run companies, and they are in real despair. Prices are going to go up, and people are not going to be able to afford to buy a cup of coffee. That's the reality of it. They may think that they're going to have some extra money in their pockets, but when the prices of everything go up at least 10%, you know, everything becomes more unaffordable. It was disappointing to hear that so many of the members of Timwald openly criticised Chamber last night in the Chambers for doing exactly what we exist to do, which is represent over 450 businesses that employ over 20,000 people. We could not have fought harder to make the case for balance and realism here. We haven't changed our stance on our position on the median wage. What we warned of in July were the risks of using a median that is overinflated by a 28% differential between the public and private sectors. We supported median wage, but only if it was linked to private sector wages.
You're listening to Update on Manx Radio. Now, there's been a bit of a spat online about government supposedly scrapping school buses. It comes after comments made during a debate on the Department of Infrastructure's transport strategy in Timwald. So, what is the future of bus provision for children? Minister Michelle Haywood has been clarifying the plans.
It was trying to point out that there are some places where school buses, we designate them school buses, we send them to do a school bus run, and actually they could easily be a service bus provided on that route. And then once the children are dropped off, you know, it's obviously got the whole route to run back to the depot or wherever it's going, that actually it would be better if we could work out our network so that we're using service buses rather than dedicated school buses. There are some routes where that won't be possible because of capacity issues, and we know that we need to put some double-deckers onto routes that are currently run by single-deck bus, and I'm hoping that will be sorted in the very near future. But actually what we need is a whole strategic look at our bus network to make sure that we are providing as many opportunities for the bus. And I think, you know, my comments were in response to there are buses that go past Heywood Court, but they go down to the school and drop children off and then they come back past empty. And it's not that there will be a regular route coming past there, but the challenge is absolutely right that it seems insane to have a bus going back past a residential care home empty where you could actually put people onto that bus and incorporate it as part of the route. So some of this is in the bus strategy. It's about being smarter about how we manage our bus network to make sure we can give the opportunity to as many people as possible to get on as many buses as possible. So I'm definitely not axing bus services for schools. It is a really key part of what buses are there to do, but they may not be specific bus services anymore. They may be service buses. It's one of the bits in the transport strategy is about making sure that we use our assets to the best advantage. So I don't want buses travelling around empty if there's possibly a way that we could have got passengers on it and it's convenient for them to get wherever the bus is headed. And so we need to look at that and how we really, really do. I hate the terms for the assets, but how we really use our assets to our best advantage. Buses are very expensive bits of kit that we invest in. We've got some very skilled drivers who are absolutely excellent at moving people around safely on the island. And for them to be doing trips when there's nobody on board and they've got not in service on the front of the bus, we need to minimise those options.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Manx Telecom and Jersey Telecom have agreed to merge, a move they say will create the largest full-service telecoms provider across the Crown Dependencies. I'm delighted to say I'm joined in the studio now by Christian Jones. Faster, my Christian, what more can you tell us?
Faster, my Dave. Well, absolutely. This is, like you say, a major development in the telecom sector. The two companies plan to combine their operations across the Isle of Man, Jersey and Guernsey and internationally. And they say that the merger will strengthen digital infrastructure. It will accelerate investment in areas like fibre broadband, 5G and managed digital services.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but haven't we heard about this before? I'm sure this isn't the first time we've heard about this.
You would be right there. Manx Radio first revealed that background discussions, quote, were taking place back in November 2024, so this time last year, and again in June this year, though at the time, both companies dismissed those reports as speculative and unverified. We don't actually know the exact cost of this merger, but it is reported to be worth more than £500 million if historical figures that were floated are to be believed.
Now, I know I've asked you this many times this week. What happens next? Is this the end? Has it happened?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, not exactly on this. The merger still needs regulatory approval before it can go ahead. No timetable's been given yet on that. Both firms say the move will position them to deliver faster connectivity and a stronger network resilience across the islands. No doubt the question on many people's minds, though, is if this will affect the cost. Unfortunately, we don't have any details on that yet either.
So watch this space. Thank you, Christian. We'll stay with telecommunications. Shaw claim their 5G network coverage will start being rolled out in the Isle of Man from next year. The telecommunications company, which is now rebranded as Shaw by Bayan, has made the announcement at a launch event in Douglas. Partnering with a technology business from Bahrain, it's aiming to invest £100 million across the Channel Islands and the Isle of Man towards digital infrastructure. Tech firm Ericsson also getting involved with the company ahead of the rollout. Shaw by Bayan Chief Executive Officer Alistair Beek and Bayan CEO Sheikh Mohammed bin Khalifa spoke to Chanel Sakou.
It will improve coverage and improve speeds, and it means that the island's going to be super well connected for the longer term. And that's really important to the community, but also to the economy. And because we all spend more and more of our lives and lead a more digital lifestyle these days. So whether that's working from home, whether it's for healthcare, whether it's for education, you know, mobile and fixed networks are critical.
That timeline, the middle of next year, is that when it's expected to be rolled out fully on the island or across the British Isles, or is that when it's going to be starting to be rolled out?
We're not here today to kind of commit to a timing exact process of when exactly it's going to launch. All I can say is that we are right now in the testing phase of proving all the technology that we're installing is working. And then the plan is next year that we'll be rolling out the technology. Our ambition is to make sure that the whole of the Isle of Man has 5G during 2026.
And you've also got Ericsson in on board.
To bring Ericsson in, it's not only you bring in the latest technology, but you bring in the latest technology, or the best technology, basically. And you're also bringing in the security aspect to it as well. So it's not only the latest technology, but the security and making sure that you know your data, your information, and the equipment they use that are secured, which reflects positively on the customer.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
So we'll start off with the Manxman, which is already in dock and Douglas. Let's go down to the airport. And the Aer Lingus is boarding at 20 past five to Dublin. Unfortunately, EasyJet Manchester, which was due to go at 5:30, has now been delayed until 25 past six. Loganair Liverpool is on time at 6:45. The 10:07 service from EasyJet to Gatwick has been delayed till 8:00. And the Loganair flight to Edinburgh at 8:15 is showing as on time. In terms of the arrivals, of course, there'll be some knock-ons because of those. We have the... It's updating now as I speak. And it is that the EasyJet Manchester is delayed. It was due to arrive at 5, is now due to come in at 5:55. Loganair Manchester is showing as 6:15. That's on time. The EasyJet Gatwick is delayed. It was due to leave at at 6:15. It's now coming in at 7:30. But okay for our other arrivals. Edinburgh Loganair is coming in on time at 7:45. Loganair London City at 8:10 is on time. And Liverpool Loganair 8:40 is also showing on time.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
So, the island's unemployment rate has held steady at 0.6%, latest figures showing a small fall in the number of people out of work. Leila Bladen has been on Work Experience at Manx Radio this week. We've given her the job of looking through the stats. So, faster my Leila, what do these figures tell us?
Well, the picture remains fairly stable, and at the end of September, there were 273 people registered as unemployed. That's 4 fewer than in August, but 13 more the same month last year. The unemployment rate itself hasn't changed and still sits at 0.6%.
Oh, right, OK. A steady month overall, but what about the number of jobs available?
Well, that's actually where we've seen an increase. The report shows there were 439 vacancies at the job centre at the end of the month. That's up by 27th on August. More than half of those are full-time roles, but a sizeable number of part-time positions are temporary or seasonal, which is fairly typical for this time of year. The business is gearing up for Christmas temps.
And which sectors are seeing the most activity at the moment?
Healthcare continues to lead the way. There were 83 vacancies in medical and health services alone. Retail and hospitality are also major recruiters, with both sectors reporting dozens of openings. On the other hand, the highest number of people still looking for work are in miscellaneous services, retail and catering.
And geographically, are there any areas where unemployment is more, let's say, concentrated?
Well, yeah, most of the island's job seekers are based in the east. That includes Douglas, Onchan and Braddon, where roughly two-thirds of all unemployed people live. Smaller numbers are spread across the north, south and west.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Last night, Plaid Cymru arguably took a surprise win in the Welsh Government's by-election. The Nationalist Party won the seat with themselves and Reform UK taking the lion's share of the votes ahead of both Labour and the Conservatives. But is there a lesson to be learned for Manx politics from what happened yesterday? In South Wales, there's been a reduction of speed limits to 20 miles an hour on many roads, a situation rolling out here in the island. Was this a major factor in how the election fared? Let's hear from news editor of the Care Philly Observer, Rhys Williams.
It was a very busy count. So normally, during a general election or a Senate election, you know, there's maybe three or four reporters from different outlets. But I think there was about 70 reporters there yesterday. Obviously, a lot of national interest in what was going on, which is a bit strange when, you know, when you cover Philly every day and suddenly it's on all the nationals.
One of the big issues in South Wales of late has been the 20-mile-an-hour rollout of lots of different roads around there. Did that play a role in the outcome, do you think, last night?
Potentially, but it's worth noting that Plaid Cymru, who won, you know, they won quite convincingly yesterday, they've supported 20 mile an hour, and they have no plans to turn back on it. So,
whereas reform
that way,
yeah, but
yes, the reform, it wasn't the biggest part of a campaign, but they did make a big fuss about that. The Conservatives opposed it as well, but it didn't seem to be the huge issue that perhaps many people thought it would, even though it has been very controversial since it was introduced in September 2023. It wasn't the biggest issue in this by-election.
Not even on the run-up when the debates were taking place and the talk, as I know it has been a big issue, 20 miles an hour down in South Wales.
Yeah, so there was a TV debate on the BBC last week, and it wasn't really, I think it was mentioned once or twice, but it wasn't
the hot topic,
key debating issue. Yeah, there was, you know, in quite a prominent part of Caerphilly Town Centre, there's like an interactive billboard, and Reform had an advert saying 20 mile an hour isn't working, and a picture of kind of a tailback of cars. So that was kind of in people's faces quite a bit, but it wasn't the main talking point. I think it will continue to be a main talking point, and I think going into the main Senate elections next year in May, that will be a bigger issue there. But I think it's a combination of local issues, you know, UK-wide issues, that seems to be at play here more. But again, you know, Plaid Cymru being in favour of 20 mile an hour and winning convincingly kind of makes you think, well, actually, it wasn't the biggest issue when voters went to the ballots yesterday.
Caerphilly Observer news editor Rhys Williams. You're listening to Update on Manx Radio. Braddon commissioners say roof works to its Coronation and Jubilee Terrace social housing has nearly doubled in cost. The local authority says it's due to external insulation, which they claim, if tampered with, could destabilise the internal structure of properties. This was discussed at its public meeting, which also included an update on the street lighting scheme and the renewal of Union Mills Football Club's lease. Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper has more details.
Braddon Commissioners is re-roofing the social housing stock on Mount Royal Road to make them more energy efficient and comfortable. Clerk Colin Whiteway said the additional work needed would cost £400,000, on top of the current £400,000 to do the initial work. However, he confirmed the project is running on schedule and one house is being refurbished every 6 weeks. Mr Whiteway added that tenants will be decanted so the extra building works can be carried out. He also confirmed there are two leaky windows in Mullandowie, which are going to be investigated. Also on the agenda was an update on the Commissioner's proposed street lighting scheme for the parish. It will be replacing over 70 of its streetlights to bring them up to modern standards. These stretch across 9 estates and also in the Isle of Man Business Park. The Commissioner's previously agreed that those in Cronkbourne Village will be replaced with heritage-style lamps. Mr Whiteway said he had been in contact with Manx Utilities, and for the 4 in the area, it would cost between £3,000 and £4,000. It was agreed by the board to put a heritage-style head on the lamppost in the village. The commissioners were also provided with an update on the lease for Union Mills Football Club. Mr Whiteway said he attended a meeting with the club where they asked for a longer lease of 25 years to be able to apply for grants and invest properly in the area. Vice Chair Andrew Jessop said if the club was granted a longer lease, they could make more of the facilities if they had that security. Mr Whiteway confirmed any lease over 7 years must have government approval. The board agreed to ask the government to approve a longer lease for the football club. Braddon commissioners will next meet on Thursday the 20th of November.
Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper reporting. A new exhibition goes on display at the House of Manannan tomorrow, exploring the incredibly rich world of Manx treasure. Entitled National Treasures, it features Viking silver and gold from 1,000 years ago, alongside 4,000-year-old Bronze Age jewellery. Let's hope they look after it better than the Louvre. Manx National Heritage's curator for archaeology, Alison Fox, says the exhibit was formed from a desire to share some of the incredible artefacts that have been found here in the past few years.
We really, really punch above our weight on the Isle of Man. You know, we're small, but we're right in the middle of everything. And the archaeological treasures just keep coming up. You know, every so often I'll pop up on the radio or something about, oh yes, well, this amazing piece of Viking Age treasure has been found, you know. And we really wanted to bring people the message that we've got this amazing resource of treasure. So we wanted to sort of show them how fantastic the treasure looks, how beautiful a lot of this material is as decorative objects, but also just explain, you know, why is it important? You know, yeah, it looks amazing. We can be very proud of ourselves, like we've got all this treasure, but, you know, what does it actually mean? What does it tell us about the Isle of Man in the past and where we are now? So that's the main thrust of the exhibition text, really. But we've got some key objects that have been recently conserved and in a way restored, and it's the first opportunity that people will have to see them in their newly cleaned and displayed state.
That was Manx National Heritage's Curator for Archaeology, Alison Fox, speaking to Howard Kane. You can catch that full interview in the latest edition of Spotlight, which is available as a podcast now. And you can find the podcast on manxradio.com. But I've just realised I've come in sooner than expected. My apologies. We should have gone to Rob Pritchard with sport. Faster, my Rob.
A bit of a dramatic pause there. I'll take that. Okay. Okay. Yeah, faster, my Dave. Okay, first of all, the current top two sides in our Dernan Drug Unlimited Division 2 meet in a big clash this weekend in one of the headline ties in the latest Isle of Man weekend football schedules. During tomorrow's showdowns, Division 2 leaders Colby head to southern rivals Castletown, who are just 2 points behind in second and have a game in hand. Elsewhere, it remains hotly contested at the summit of the Canada Life Men's Premier League, as just 2 points still separate the leading trio of Corinthians, Laxey and Onken. There are no women's or masters fixtures penned in for Sunday due to the school half-term breaks. You can see a full schedule of this weekend's Isle of Man football ties at manxradio.com. In hockey, there's been plenty going on. First of all, three Isle of Man senior national hockey sides will begin their latest England Hockey Championships campaigns tomorrow. The Isle of Man Men's A, Men's B and Ladies B squads all head to the UK on Saturday afternoon to take part in the opening rounds of their respective competitions. Contesting the EH Men's Tier 2 trophy, the Men's A will face West Derby Men's First 11, whilst the Men's B will open their account in the EH Men's Tier 3 Vars at Goulburn and Prescott's second 11. Elsewhere, the Ladies B side head to Merseyside to face Liverpool Sefton's second 11 in the Women's EH Tier 3 Vars. Meanwhile, on Ireland, mixed league action returns tomorrow after cup competitions took centre stage last weekend. Matches across the divisions will get underway from 11 a.m. tomorrow morning with details on our website. And also, Manx hockey player Sienna Dunn will represent England at this year's Junior Women's World Cup. The former Valkyries player is one of 18 athletes in the under-21s national side, which will contest the tournament in Santiago, Chile from the 1st to the 13th of December. Dunn was also part of the England under-21 women's squad, which finished fourth in the same tournament in 2023, also in Chile. And in rugby, Douglas will be hoping to keep up their impressive form in Regional 2 North West during Saturday's rugby ties. They head to Birkenhead Park, whilst Ramsey travel to Clitheroe in a rearranged Counties 3 ADM Lancashire Cheshire contest. And on Ireland, the Manx Shield returns as Southern Nomads host Western Vikings.
Thank you, Rob, and you'll be back again very shortly.
Indeed, I will be. It's a very quick turnaround.
So, yes, so tonight it's...
Taking a look towards the latest fixtures as well. Like I say, there's another busy football schedule going on as well, including what is a big game at the top of Division 2. Hockey-wise, as I've just mentioned, there are plenty going on and all eyes turning again to league action after the opening round of the mixed cup competitions last weekend. And there'll be a trio of teams in action. The big question being, can Douglas keep up their good form in Regional 2 Northwest?
Thank you, Rob. We'll stick around for you. But that's it from update from myself. Thank you to newsreader Christian Jones and... I think it's Christian will be here for update next Monday at 5 o'clock.